Greetings and welcome to the Beyond Earth show. I'm your host, Ray Trujillo, and thank you all of you for joining me on this beautiful summer day, May 31st, the year 2025. And I hope all of you have had a lovely past few weeks and that your summer is commencing to a glorious start and also some, I would imagine, much needed vacation or reprieve in any way that seems suitable for you. And so a few things for today's show that I'd love to cover and intermittently refer to is that in this present moment, we are in essentially a Pluto retrograde in Aquarius, and that began on May 4th, but it's going to end October 14th, 2025. And there is something of a great deal of significance with every planet, as we may know that with Venus and Mars are more personal planets and so forth, but Pluto is in relation to the underworld and to our shadow self and to our deep unconscious mind and also our past and karmically and in the perhaps, let's say, the defects of ourself and how we yearn to self-actualize and grow from our mistakes, grow from our past, or reflect and learn from the past and thereby continue to enhance ourselves as we go through the journey of each of our lives. And so if we go through the insights and we learn from the underworld, we learn from the shadow self, we learn from those deep unseen perspectives, when we give them a proper chance for analysis, self-analysis, or even in the external realm in which things are being pointed out to you or the universe is showing you a sign, and then there are sequential signs. And it's not just the coincidental signs or the reticulating activation center in the brain that filters out things and brings it to the forefront, but it's actually true divinity in all methods and functions. And so, you know, in the ancient kingdom, astrology was utilized to look through much of the aspects of the self, and it continues into the present day. And so when we really look upon God's creation of all the planets and how they have the constellation and how they have their moments and they go in the ebb and flow, just like our human bodies go in the ebb and flow, and our energy fields, our biofields go into the ebb and flow that is consistent with life. Because if it's stagnant, it's no longer. Energy remains, yes, but if we are stagnant, we could feel dead within. So planetarily wise, in the cosmos, our cosmos, we can look upon our life construct and recognize that our paths are not linear, that there's so much in the expectation of, well, this should be, by the time I'm this age, I should be on this path, and by the time I'm that age, I should have X, Y, and Z. But oftentimes, what we might expect is this anticipation. And sometimes if we don't meet that certain self-imposed expectation by that particular timeline, we can be very much in the feeling of frustration, disconcerted, and feeling unfulfilled. But then who's to say that just a year later, perhaps, or year 0.5, a year and a half later, that 18 months later, that is when the next step of the self-actualization could begin, and not exactly on that particular self-designated timeline, or what society might have imparted, or what a familial aspect in the family may have put pressure upon, or anyone in particular. And so we look at the actions of ourselves, our past actions, our actions in the present moment, and when we future outpicture ourselves, and we shapeshift into our reality, into the future, and we really see ourselves, and we go into that experience of the desire in which we want to manifest, the desire in which we want to create that. We want to co-create that. We want to be at one with God, be at one with the universe, be at one with our higher selves, our Christ consciousness, our Buddha consciousness, whatever it may be, the elemental kingdom consciousness, or all of the above. We want to grow into a newer state of being and grow into a newer state of our divine potential, right? And so it's so common when planets go into this journey and then they go retrograde and they appear they're going backward, but it's a trace back. Well, it's to remind us that we're also essentially in a trace back of ourself. And if we look at our wounds, our core wounds, and the commonality of that, we trace back. We look at the root origin. What was the genesis of that? Why is this person having this condition today? And it could be physical, it could be emotional, it could be psycho-spiritual, it could be a compulsion, it could be even an allergy, an adverse effect of things, right? So there's the genesis of all that can be good or not so good. There's always going to be the yin and the yang, the negative, the positive, the dark, the light, the moon and the sun, the black and white. But then there's the gray area. And then there's the line in the sand of like, that is not to be crossed. And then you have to protect yourself and create a barrier and a boundary. But oftentimes, when we look within ourselves in the inner mirror, it can be frightening, it can be terrifying. And what we resist does persist. And sometimes the things that we feel that, oh, we don't need that, we actually might need it. There's such a resistance to the application of self-improvement. And so what we can learn from the planets is that they go with the ebb and flow. And if it's their time for a trace back, essentially it would make ideal sense that it's also our time for a trace back in one way or another, whether it's literally cleaning out your closet, going in your garage, something simple as that, or in the excavation aspect, besides in the physical, tangible, really going through the old emotional skeletons in the closet, if it's not so frightening. And so it's ideally a time for, in a safe measure, reliving by retracing what is still in our subconscious and then our awareness. And the place that records every single encounter, every single memory, every single interaction in this particular timeline in this life. And sometimes it's also, it can consist of previous lifetimes as well. And so we want to give ourselves this utmost compassion. We want to allow ourselves to be in this altruistic state of, if we're kind to others, why not be kind to ourself? And if it's easy to be kind to others and it's difficult to be kind to the self, that is a common conundrum. That is a common dilemma amongst especially empathic individuals, light working individuals, spiritual people that do fall under a similar category. But what happens is that when the self has not nurtured itself, then everything else can have a proclivity towards a fragility and collapse. And then what good would we be for others if we don't nurture ourselves? Much like in the airplane analogy, in when you're flying and the stewardess says, please place the mask upon yourself first before an elderly or a child or someone who is not able to take care of themselves, correct? So if you keep yourself in a state of self-love and also in a state of gratitude, which I'll get into a little further in this show and upcoming shows, of course, gratitude is one of my favorite subjects to discuss. There's an energy to the gratitude, and there's also an energy to self-love. But if you go into that energy, into that elemental aspect of energy, bringing in, invoking self-love, implementing self-love, to love yourself the way that God sees you, to love yourself the way that you are divinely inherited with that self-love, and that you have a right to be here, that you have a right to exist, that you have a right to have the treasures of the kingdom here upon earth in this third dimensional realm. And most people, it's easier to go into lines of self-pity, self-degradation, self-effacing. It's easier to go into a dark path when it's to the self, but you can praise another, but it's far more attuned when you're actually in the practice of growing that self-love and thereby also growing that self-gratitude, because that outpictures and it broadcasts and it signals out into the universal realm, into the ethers, and it just highlights and amplifies more of what you draw in, more of what you attract in, and also in the evolution of your healing. And so in your soul's healing, in the flesh, in the carnate here on earth, and in the mind, and so forth. So oftentimes when we are in the journey through the past, sometimes it's hard for us to be straightforward with ourselves, but sometimes we're a bit too hard on ourselves, hypercritical of ourselves. And that's the piece that where you don't lose your discernment towards the self, but you apply in a very constructive application towards the self. And one of the key elements would be implementing the gratitude. So if you didn't win that contest, let's say, you trained so hard, you trained, but you didn't win. But if you look at the gratitude that, wow, I'm able to train, I'm physically able, I'm not debilitated by an illness, or I have everything in operating function. I just didn't win. And I'm just going into simple examples, right? But you might win the next one. Sometimes it's you fall down seven times and you get up eight. And sometimes it's that job that you wanted so badly and you worked so hard and you got three interviews. And then suddenly you didn't make the cut, but you got to the third interview. And some people might say, well, I didn't even get to the first interview. But that's the near misses. Sometimes it's where God is saving you from, God knows what's best for you. That, and some people might say, well, that's easy for you to say because this job would have saved my family and we were near this and having calamity and the finances, and this job would have been a saving grace. But sometimes you just don't know what's going on. Like things are going on behind the scenes that you have no idea of. And sometimes those disappointments are actually God's saving grace, because God is preventing you from going into a very dark scenario. Because little did you know that perhaps that company or perhaps that employer, that they were having a merge, perhaps 3 months later. And maybe you got accustomed to suddenly this windfall of monthly for your salary and your monthly income. And what if it just somehow a merge took over? And then everyone was replaced. And then you had to start from square one again. There are many times, often, that happens with relationships with people where they thought that that was their dream partner. And then it didn't work out. And later on, come to find out that, wow, God had someone better in store for me. The universe had someone better in store for me. And thank God that was a near miss. And that's not for every occasion. That's not for every job. That's not for every athletic competition. It's not for every contest. It's not for every, relationship. But oftentimes, when you're doing everything you can the right way, I'm speaking of when someone is doing everything the right way and nothing seems to work, going into the deeper elements of gratitude for what you do have, that is the superpower that transcends and transmutes through the obstacles that come from that recipe for resentment when we have expectations that are not realized in that moment. And I know I said a lot all at once just now, but when you digest it and you look at it with an open mind, there's a great deal of sense to it. And yes, there are people that are very much in the extreme of, in the moment, it's going to happen. I could say and give examples left and right of people in real time that can recite personally exactly what I'm sharing with you, because I'm sharing what I've observed and what I know personally from others, not fictitious examples, but true examples. And in the moment, when we're in that place of disconcerted and we're just so bothered, we're so heartbroken about X, Y, and Z, it's so hard to see the light. It's so hard. We feel like we're drowning in an ocean and we're going deeper into the abyss, and the chains are wrapped around our legs and our feet, and that we're bound and that we're drowning. And that's very common. But the beauty, though, that when you find yourself drowning and you say, you know what? This is not my only opportunity. This is not my only chance. And oftentimes it's a fatalistic approach in the mind of scarcity. And so when the scarcity comes in, thinking that was my last chance at my dream job, that was my last chance at this competition or this contest, this is my last chance for a relationship, that actually creates more of a scarcity and a blockade energetically from allowing in the universal ebb and flow and in the ethers and the laws of divinity and the laws of magnetism to attract outwardly. Because if I'm operating from a place of this is my last chance, I'm just going to surrender into the abyss. But if I go into, you know, this was not my last chance, but I'm going to surrender into the will of God and the will of the universal kingdom and my karmic attributes. I'm just going to surrender and give it all to God. I'm going to surrender and I'm going to give it all to the universe. I'm going to surrender. I'm going to give it all to my guardian angels. I'm going to surrender. I'm going to give it all to my spirit guides. I'm going to surrender and I'm going to give it all to the cosmic kingdom because I believe in myself and this is not the end. I'm going to surrender into the unknown with a bright and hopeful mind. Even if I fall in seven times, I'm going to get up eight. And right there is a supernatural power that co-creates in the energy stream of all. And that magnetism starts to inflow. Because if we go into the place of, I surrender into the abyss and I'm finished, it's done, I'm done for. And that's happened to many people that are very successful. And everyone's different, and I respect there's no judgment here. However, it rains and it pours. And what happens? It rains and it pours negative news. It rains and it pours, rejection, right? So you're in a place of rejection. You're in a place of feeling downtrodden. You're in a place of feeling that the whole world is collapsing around you. And yes, it's very true. There are people who lose their homes and people who have their stage terminal cancer and their children went missing. I mean, all kinds of things all at once. And there are true crises in the world, yes. But then you will see, though, that when someone's in their own crisis, whatever it may be, when the bright side is looked upon, even when everything is dark and bleak, something starts to open up. The sky opens up. The oceans seem to part. Some divinity will hear and come through. And that's the steadfastness. And one can say, well, the faith, when it's unwavering, has a power to it. Of course it does. But it's faith in oneself as well, that through God, He wants you to have faith in yourself, to believe in yourself as well, because He created you to be in His love and His light. And when Jesus had proclaimed that I am the light of the world, the doctrine, when he had lost his ego self, and when he was in his own, I would say that divine heart flame, in that life force of all that divinity, we see ourselves and we can be in our ego, negative or positive. It's good to have a healthy ego. That it's good to have a balanced, healthy ego. But at the same time, our ego, our negative fear-based mind ego, can really convince us into things that are not so positive for us. Our negative fear-based mind ego is can be detrimental, like ego etching God out, right? But if we give and we surrender all the pain, all the disappointment, on the unrealized expectations, recipe for resentment, we give it to God, we give it to the universe. It's remarkable what the turnaround is. When you actually just open up in the spectrum of the mind and the spirit, and there's a science to this. There actually is a science to the energy of the heart matrix and the mind matrix and that telepathy. Telepathy is real, ESP is real, and we all have it. Some of us are more fine-tuned to it than others because we've practiced it for so long, and for the use of the greater good, of course. But when we look into the heart, which is our link to all that is, it's comprised of the oneness. And so if we go into the indwelling of the self, and we go into facing the darkness, facing that ignorance, facing that peace. I think in the Bhagavad Gita, there's a passage that actually speaks of that perfectly. And it was Krishna who said, "I am seated in the hearts of all, and from me are memory and knowledge. I, dwelling within their self, destroy the darkness, born of ignorance by the luminous lamp of knowledge." And right there, and when Jesus says, "I am the light of the world," we are part of that light of the world. God wants us to be part of that light of the world. So why surrender into the darkness when there's more light? There's far more light than darkness, but we can co-create the darkness and amplify, exacerbate that darkness so easily. And it just takes a little bit more effort to align oneself in the effervescence that, let's say, electroplasmatic field of light and the prisms of light. And if we open up a spectrum within our consciousness and attune ourselves, and we transcend from our heart, from our mind, from our soul, and we just transcend from the immaterial illusions that are not really at times the tangible aspect of reality, but when we look forward and toward it as a point of light. So when you visualize a point of light within the self, and if however you pray, if you're Christian, Catholic, Buddhist, if, whatever it is that is respectful to your belief system, or the point of light is real. And if you look at the heart and the mind center and the matrix of that, and we are literally children of God. And so, in the light of the world, we are also part of that light to co-create with God as He created us. And so, looking within the light of ourselves and going into that gratitude that my God loves me so much that He wouldn't want me to be so sad, He's got something greater in store for me. And if you go into also the gratitude of what you do have and you focus on what you do have, even if someone might say, "Well, I have nothing," really though, look at what you do have. Are your hands working? Are you able to see? Are you able to walk? And some people might say, "Well, I'm blind, but I can walk. I'm blind, but I can hear. I'm blind, but I can see through in the psychic sense," right? I'm just giving examples. And then there are those that have no legs, but they're still able to function. And I'm going into these examples to just kind of express the strong differentiations between gratitude in the physical, physiological. But let's go into gratitude of the spirit, gratitude of the heart, gratitude of the emotion, gratitude of the intellect. So when we go through any sort of transgression from another, or even if we've disappointed ourselves. And we want to really elevate from that suffrage, from the transgression of others, or even if it's by our own hand and our own causes and our proclivities or dysfunctional aspects. We go into a place and we just say, thank you, God. Just simply, thank you, God. And just say, thank you, God, for the trees. Thank you, God, for the sun. Thank you, God, for the moon. Thank you, God, for this cup of tea a stranger gave me. Or thank you, God, for this book. Or thank you, God, for my hands. And if you don't have hands, then you thank God for something else. Just giving examples. And sometimes when people speak of manifesting, right, and they speak of manifested as if you have it right now, well, that's great and wonderful. But one of the elements that really needs to be touched upon is the gratitude in that divinity to apply with the laws of magnetism and the laws of divine supply and the laws of divine abundance. Because that is very prevalent. If we don't apply the laws of supply with the laws of magnetism, with the laws of divine abundance, then if we don't operate from that place of gratitude, it does not set it in motion. It actually stalls it. And then the fear steps in because gratitude supersedes fear. So if I say, I'm terrified of winning first place in the Olympics. Okay, why are you afraid of winning? Well, I'm afraid that if I win, that if I reach that level of success, that nothing else will ever trump that in my life. There are many versions of fear, even when it's the most positive thing. Sometimes, even if it's like you want that baby so bad, and you finally found out that you're pregnant with child, and you and your spouse are just beyond through the moon, but suddenly you get so terrified. And that's a normal fear. But then it gets in this terrifying aspect that's a little bit more than it should be. And then the focus becomes on, I'm so scared I'll do the wrong thing. Instead of going back in the place of, wow, I'm so grateful that we finally became pregnant. I'm scared we're new parents or we've had our 10th child. But that fear overrides the gratitude. It robs us of a happy moment. So it's understandable if you get a Ferrari and you're scared you're going to crash it, or you get a brand new truck or a brand new bicycle and you're scared you're going to crash that. So whether it's your Lamborghini or your Ferrari or your Kawasaki or your Harley Davidson or your Ford truck or a Prius, it doesn't matter. Okay, well, there's a defensiveness there and a cautionary aspect. But I'm speaking about the fear of when you have joy presented to you in such an organic way that you know that you can strive for it, but then you actually subconsciously start to block it. You start to destroy it. You start to self-sabotage it. And that is where the danger zone lies in the intellectual, the psycho-spiritual, energetically and emotionally. And then it can also attack in the physical, physiologically, and also in so many other ways. But if you go into that state of gratitude, the fear starts to dwindle. False evidence appearing real, fear, the acronym, false evidence appearing real. And there's so much truth to that. And there may be other acronyms people use, but that's the one that I recall by memory. And when you go into that joy, when you go into that gratitude, the fear starts to edge out a bit more. The fear starts to dissipate because how can fear override your joy and your gratitude? Because your gratitude is like a muscle that you are attuning into the ethers, into God, into the Holy Spirit. You're in the element of gratitude for the divine, Jesus Christ. You're in the element of gratitude for the divine, your guardian angels, the saints, the archangels, spirit guides, the elemental kingdom, the archetypal kingdom, and the angelic realm, right? So you're in gratitude, and that gratitude is contagious in an exponential positive contagion, because just as much as negativity can have its own contagion, positivity can have its contagion in a positive aspect of love and light, where it's infectious in a way with that humor and that love and that light, and in that directional field of the outpicturing that, wow, it's a happy day. If you think about music, right? You think about all the beautiful music, like Vivaldi. Vivaldi, if they play Vivaldi during heart surgery or even at a veterinarian clinic, those animals or that patient, even if they're not hearing it on headphones personally, but if it's in the background, in the ethers, there's this immense, profound vibration within the chords and the realms of that apply wholeheartedly into that divine energy that transmutes through, and it's healing, right? So if it's music that makes you happy, it'll heal, right? But there are tones and the placement of the tones, and sometimes the music is channeled through where God just gave it to the artist. Like if you look through history, like sometimes it was just like Prince, the artist Prince was just like, all this just music would just come to him. And that's God, that's the muse. You know, we have an Archangel Gabriel, the communications and things and so much. But when we look at just how much this world benefits from gratitude and joy, and then it becomes this positively infectious, positively contagious element, it does spread. And the energy, if a room full of individuals are beaming with sunshine, it's very hard to feel in a dark place, right? And I get it. I understand. Sometimes there are devastations that occurred. It's so hard. But sometimes we have to bring joy to the darkness, even if it's just with a grateful heart. So sometimes, whenever you're looking within and you're tracing back and you're going into that reflection, it's a gift of inner insight. It's a gift to have that inner reflection. It's truly in that sacredness, the inner sanctum, to look into ourself, to go and reflect and look at that genesis, look at that core wound, look at what you've healed, look at what you want to heal, look at what you've been in denial about, look at what you've been avoiding, look at what, wow, if I were to just change one thing here in a safe place, in a safe mental and emotional and physical place, perhaps I could remove that and I'm going to go and surrender into gratitude. And thereby, I'm going to go into the inner sanctum, into that sacredness of the gift of my life and the gift of my heart mind matrix. And my capacity inward will grow, such as a muscle, repetition with wisdom, right? Muscle memory. So if we're in a conscious effort to create and allow a self-awareness within, and then we let and we allow the space, because there has to be a certain level of spaciousness, because spaciousness is always required for receiving, right? Because there's the law of abundance, the law of surplus, the laws of divinity and giving, and the laws of charity and the laws of giving in the generous component. But there's also the law of permission, to give permission to receive. I hereby give permission to receive. I give myself permission to receive. And then you open more of the door to invoke that, right? So when you go and you allow that spaciousness to just expand, And that in that expansiveness where there's like the contrast of things, where the dichotomy, where sometimes we need to kind of balance out the scales a bit, but we go into that spaciousness and we feel that spaciousness and we allow the assimilation of those previous steps that we've taken, but for the integration to come, because there's the integration that is imperative with implementing the new actions and our new forward way of thinking, right thought, action, application with the gratitude. And if you write down like a gratitude list, you will build more of that sacred sanctum within. You write down a gratitude list of anything and everything that you're grateful for. Even if you're so scared right now about anything going on, write down something. Write down three things that you're grateful for. And then just keep searching. Even if you're saying, I'm grateful for something like cartoons, or I'm grateful for BBS radio station, I'm grateful for comic books, and I'm grateful for the fact that the pharmacy is open, whatever it is, I'm just giving abstract things. But guess what happens? You start to unleash and unblock in the immediate, in the prefrontal cortex, and then you start to go into the deeper layers of your subconscious mind. And then your conscious mind and your subconscious mind are in a really nice harmony to where the real gratitude starts to come out. Like, not that you're not grateful for comic books and the sun and the stars and the moon and BBS radio and the newspaper or whatever it is, the apple you're eating and the coffee and tea. I'm just saying the deeper things, the deeper things. Think of a time in your life when, wow, I'm so grateful that I met that person, that friend, or that stranger who I thought was an angel. Oh, I'm so grateful for that one time that someone did something so nice. Even if you've been alive for 100 years and you only had one encounter with someone who was kind to you, altruistically, focus on that. Focus on that. Because I guarantee when you focus on that kind action, on that loving, compassionate, that altruistic action set into motion, what starts to happen is that the familiarity process starts to reignite within, and then it transmutes. And then interdimensionally, it starts to signal out there, and then it starts to recast itself to thereby magnetize itself once more to relive that. Sometimes we think about people who say, I'm in a cycle where I just attract bad women, bad men, or bad friends, or bad this, or even in lifetimes where I know my previous lifetimes, it's the same cycle. Or we could say it's ancestral defects, it's epigenetic defects, if it's a family curse. If you don't believe in curses, then it's a defect. I mean, so many things, right? Oh, it's the family curse that we all have the same issue, right? Or it's my curse. It always ends up the same way, whatever it might be, right? But guess what? That's logged in your subconscious field and your higher conscious field. So anytime something that's presented to you that might be good for you, or maybe it's just, maybe you think, oh, it's not good for me, however it is, but you're already expecting that to happen. You're already expecting that some negative outpicture will occur, that some negative end results, like the fairy tale ending, won't be there for whatever it might be. If it's for a goal, if it's for a relationship, if it's for a family dynamic, if it's for anything. Well, I can never finish anything. Well, if you say that, then you're whatever you think you are, whatever you think you can, you will. Whatever you think you are, you are. So if you think, I can't finish anything, or I'm a loser, or I will never have a successful relationship, you're broadcasting that out. And then if you say, well, I tried that, I'm a wonderful person and I deserve, and I'm living in a healthy, happy relationship while I'm single and I'm just saying it out loud, or I'm winning my Pulitzer Prize. Well, you have to go into that state of gratitude. You have to take those actions to allow that transmutation to occur. Focus on the one positive thing that happened. And I guarantee that you will start to relive that positive, just like we relive the negative that we all go through. None of us are perfect. We go through and we relive the trauma. We go through that past action, that mistake. We can ruminate over it, but sometimes we continue to draw the cycle in. And when we continue to draw the cycle in like that, then we really are convinced that we're cursed or hexed, or that we took a vow, or that we are in a contract. And that can be the case. Everyone's different. But here's the thing. If you break the cycle, if you say, I'm going to break the cycle, even if it keeps reattaching itself, right? You just keep on persevering with tenacity. And then eventually you will see that light. But gratitude is that medicinal, energetic power from the heart, from the thanks. So if you think to yourself, let's say that when you speak within to the presence of, let's say, when you concentrate, right? So when you concentrate and you go within, because we're mortals, right? So in our mortal minds, our dialogue, there's always that threat of death. But if we go into the place that is of the Christ consciousness, right? And we go into the immortal mind of God, and we go into that element that when we're at one with God, that we are also eternal, and that evil does exist, yes, but we go into the place, and death exists also. But we go into the deeper realms in the Christ consciousness. We go into the immortal framework, and we relate to that. We see that. We feel that. We honor that. We desire and yearn to be closer to God, closer to that realm. Well, then, in that aspect, when we breathe in God, we breathe in Jesus Christ, we exhale out the evilness, we exhale out the death notion, then nothing else is real. All is encompassed in the true reality that is spirit. And so, in the energetic realm of everything, all is life, all is energy. And there truly is no death. And that good does persevere over evil, but as long as we know to not give in to the dark side, and when we're in the self-degradation, self-sabotage, the darkness loves it because it's the opposite of what God wants for us. God wants us to seek the light, to be in the light, to be of self-love, to be in that gratitude that continues to foster and foist that presence and that stream of that God consciousness, that Christ consciousness, the Holy Spirit discernment, that Buddha consciousness. We go into that like winter soldiers. Because we could all be a sunshine patriots when everything is fine and fabulous. But when you're a winter soldier, you see everything. You go in, you dig in, you excavate, and you are there in the trenches, but you're also there when everything is fabulous. And so it's hard to be a winter soldier, but you do armor up and you do grow and you self-actualize even deeper and evolve in your soul's evolution. You go into that archetype of yourself and you expand. And then the people around you, proximity-wise, they also can evolve in their soul as well. So, in the natural progression of our soul's evolution, we have a lot to contend with. But one of the key elements is to seek the elements of self-love and gratitude. And that is the main purpose of today's show, is to just remind everyone of that. Because if we go back to the planets that I began the show with, just a tiny moment on that, we look at how planets can go retrograde and they go backwards, right? It looks like it's backwards. But there's a necessary sacredness with that because that's part of that retracing. And so when we go backward, we trace backward, and then we also make the path forward by tracing from the past. And so it's that gift of that reflection of our inner self. And so when we have that we're it's permissible to us, and we're allowing ourselves to see that insight and that self-awareness, that introspection. It is, I can't stress it enough, allow the spaciousness required within that sacred, it's an intimate energy, but the assimilation is so prevalent and so paramount to receive that. And so if you look at the shadow self, you also look at the shadow of the planets. And so when you really look at what you personally have witnessed within yourself internally or even externally, what have you claimed about yourself? What have you claimed about your existence? And also, what have you integrated? And then looking at what you will reintegrate. And like I was saying, when you reintegrate something into your conscious stream, if you've been alive for 100 years, let's say, fictitiously, and only one person was kind to you in your whole life, and you never thought of that again because it was just too painful to think about. You thought about all the negative. You thought about, out of all the 100 years, that one person, one time, was kind to you. Well, that's when it's time to really look at that one kind action. And I'm sure every single person out there must have at least one kind action from someone, big or small. Even if it feels inconsequential to you on the surface, but when you dig deeper, does it feel more consequential in a positive way, right? You start to think about that positive action, and more positive is invited into your soul's sanctum, into your consciousness, and then in your soul, out picturing in the tangible sense, you will emerge from that descent of that abyss, of that darkness, and you will have a reclaimed an enlightenment, essentially, of those parts of yourself that felt lost, abandoned, neglected. So when you emerge more of who you really are, what you really want to be here in this third dimensional realm, you can emerge with this more of a pristine, crystalline, conscious clarity in that forward action, that forward action movement, where, yes, we fall down seven times, we get up eight. And I'll say that again and again because it enhances with our understanding in a simplified way that we have desires that are aligned. And sometimes we don't know who we are. Sometimes we think we know who we are, but there's so many changes in a non-linear aspect. And then we can look into the place of ourself and say, like, who do I want to be today? Who do I want to be tomorrow? Right? And so if we truly look and we clear away the unnecessary, if we get out the white noise, right? Like Buddha says, like the monkey mind and, the simple mind and just the beginner's mind, clearing the mind. Because the monkey mind, the computer brain, I mean, it's just going to nag us constantly. But if we literally focus on the immortal mind of Christ consciousness, it starts to balance out things, right? So we go into the beginner's mind, the Buddhists say, the beginner's mind. We really give ourselves that space for that emotion to somatically move through our body, and more space gets created. And when we have more space that's created and unfurled and unburdened, right, then more of that positive action, more of that gratitude, more of that self-love it starts to become more concrete within us. And so it's a beautiful dynamic because you might just shock yourself in a pleasant way, where it's such a pleasant surprise to feel the harmony after all this time that, wow, I never thought I could have such a beautiful experience in this life. I never thought that something so simple, something so profound, could actually be something that could change my life for the greater course. Because if we think about it, sounds like gratitude is a simple word, sounds like self-love is simple, but try it. You recognize that the more you do it, it's literally like spiritual gymnastics. And so, when we accept the sensitivities of ourself and we actually go into that, we're surrounded by the presence of God, we're surrounded by the presence of a higher kingdom, of a supernatural, interdimensional realm of power and beauty and grace and virtue. And there's the veneration of the soul that we seek. And in that indwelling of ourself, however we interpret our past, present, and future selves, that today is the beginning of the rest of your life. That today is the first day in the beginning of the rest of your life. And sometimes we think that, wow, I've just failed. My life is over. How can I start over? And that's common. And I have compassion for everyone. But if you just allow some of these simple principles to implement them and work towards them, 21 days to make a habit, conscious reconditioning for the neural pathways, 21 days to make a habit. So, in closing, just as a loving reminder to everyone that yes, you can, no matter what it is, no matter what the affliction, yes, you can. You just have to want it enough and believe in yourself and just start with baby steps that you are significant enough that your life, your soul, your existence, that you matter, the sovereignty of your soul. And so I just wanted to thank all of you for being with me today and joining me and sharing in the energy and the harmony of the message. And so I look forward to joining you. I'll be back in 2 weeks' time in the month of June. And so I send all of you the great blessings. And be in your gratitude, be in your state of elevation and self-love. And thank you all for those that subscribe to the show and those that listen for joining me today. My name is Ray Trujillo, and I'm the host of the Beyond Earth Show. And I'll see you again in 2 weeks' time. Thanks so much again. Bye.